we have an institution of Mechiras Chametz that was supported by the author of the Nesivos. Others were unhappy about it, but his opinion was accepted. He instituted Mechiras Chametz for the Jewish farmers in Europe who had cows, they had animals, and they had to feed them chametz on Pesach. So he instituted that they sell the cow with the chametz to the next door neighbor, the non-Jew, and they give instructions to feed the chametz to the cow. Rav Soloveitchik used to recommend that for the person who has a liquor shop, you have no choice. So you have a bakery, you're not going to throw out all of the chametz, you sell it to the non-Jew. But for private people, he recommended that one should not sell chametz bien. This was from the Tvur Shor. It's the Sefer Bchor Shor and Mar Pesachim. So he gives a whole explanation why he recommends it. So Rabbi Soloveitchik used to recommend this even for the Baal Batim, not only for the Bnei HaYeshiva, not to rely on Mechiras Chametz for Chametz Bien. And if one has a store and he has no choice, he said rather than put it in the Shtar Mechira Klala, you should have a separate Shtar Mechira for that. The Pashta says that people who rely on Mechiras Chametz should be careful to burn the last bit of Chametz that they want to burn after the rabbi sells the Chametz on Pesach morning. If you're going to burn your Chametz after your Daven Shacharis right away, let's say you have 100 pounds of Chametz. So you're going to sell 99 pounds of Chametz and you only have left 1 pound of Chametz. So the last bit of Chametz, the 1 pound that you have, you burn. So you have fulfilled the mitzvah of Tashbisa by burning the last bit of chametz. But if you burn the 1 pound of chametz, you still have another 99 pounds of chametz left. And then you go and you sell that. So the Pashtus says that you're not in fulfillment of Tashbisa. When you sell a chametz, you're not mekayim the mitzvah. The Pashtus says the mitzvah is to destroy the last bit of chametz that you own. So the Pashtus l'chorah should be that all those who rely on mechiras chametz in the days of the Shulchan Aruch, they didn't have such an institution of Mechiras Chametz that everybody sells the Chametz. So they say, if you want, you can burn the Chametz the night after Bedika. If you want, you can burn the Chametz in the crack of dawn. You don't have to wait till Tchila Sheish. Mishnah says you burn the Chametz but Tchila Sheish. That's the latest you can burn it. It doesn't mean you have to wait. But the way we have the practice that everybody relies on the rabbis Mechiras Chametz, so the Pashtus is that you really burn your Chametz after the rabbi sells all of the Chametz. There is a Gemara in Erevin. The Daf Yomi people will soon be learning this. The Gemara has a discussion. Can you rely on, if I ask someone to serve as a shlech to take care of something for me? The Gemara in Erevin talks, I ask someone to please make an Erev etchumen for me. Can I assume the chazok of shliach osu shlichusoi? The Gemara talks about chazok of shliach osu shlichusoi lahachmir. If I appointed a shlech to be mekadosh an isha for me, any woman whom he thinks is good for me, and then the shliach dies, and I don't know if he was ever a Kaddish woman. So the Gemara says you have to assume the chumer chazok shlichos shlichusai, and you have to be careful to make sure you don't marry a girl whose sister may be the one who was chosen by the shliach. So the Gemara talks about chazok shlichos. Chazok means a ruba deleisa kamon. Chazok shlichos shlichusa lechumra. What about lekula? Can you rely? Can you go chutz lechum relying on the assumption that the shliach made the erev etchumen? So the Gemara says that this halacha lemaisa distinction between a din deraisa and a din derabbanan. With respect to dinim derabbanan, we are meiko, that you may rely chazaka shlichos shlichusai. With respect to dinim deraisa, we would be machmer that you may not rely. So Rav Chaim Moshe has a tshuva where he discusses all the balabatim rely on the rabbi that he sells the chametz for them. That's a chazaka shlichos shlichusai lohakalan a din deraisa. But your rabbi Matzah is a din deraisa. So he works hard on this. He has a whole tshuva on it. The minig used to be in Europe that the balabatim who asked the rabbi to serve as the shliach to sell the chametz on their behalf used to give the rabbi a few dollars that he should sell the chametz. But the rabbi was salaried by the kehillah. What do they gain by giving him another $5 to sell chametz? So Rav Chaim Moshe suggests maybe that'll make the rabbi more conscientious. Maybe because he gave him money, and if he doesn't do the shlichus, then he has to return all the money to all the balabatim. So maybe then there's more reason to rely on the chazok shlichus for shlichus. The Gemara says there in Erevin, and that sugya, that with respect to dinim deraisa, sometimes if you know that it's very reliable person, then you do rely on chazok shlichus for shlichus. Not that reliable, so you can't rely. So Rav Chaim Moshe suggests maybe that's the reason why they introduced that they should give the rabbi a few dollars, so that'll make him extremely conscientious, knowing that if he doesn't take care of it, he has to give back everybody's money. And Erev Yontif, Leil Yontif, we light candles, we bench licht. And Leil, on Erev Shabbos, there's a Tosfos on the first Mishnah, Bamem Adlikin, has a machloik, is whether you recite a bracha and hadlokas neir Shabbos. We don't say a bracha when we vacuum the rug, we don't say a bracha when we take a shower, we don't say a bracha when you set up the cholin. So why should you say a bracha when you light the candles? We do so many other hachanas lekvot Shabbos. So Tosfos says that we follow the Rabbein Tam, that hadlokas haneris are special takanas chachamim. Vacuuming the rug and taking a shower, etc., is only necessary if you need a shower. If the guy is all clean, he doesn't need a shower, he doesn't have to take a shower. But lighting the candles, even if the lights are lit, midrabbanan, it's required to extinguish all the lights and to put them back on again on the Shem Shabbos. This amaisa mesuyim, the chachamim were misakin that you have to do the kvod Shabbos. So Rabbeinu Tam says, therefore, it's proper to recite the bracha and hadlokas neir Shabbos. What about hadlokas neir yantiv? So some Sfaradish kehilas have a meaning that they don't recite a bracha and hadlokas neir on erev yantiv because various reasons. Okay, we won't go into it. But our meaning is that we do. You say a bracha l'hadlik neir shel yantiv. Question is, when do you light the neir? So there are different minhagim. Many have the minig that you wait till the husband comes home from shul, balayla, and then you light the candles, because on yantiv, you're permitted to light the candles from a flame that exists already. Now let us strike a match. Mishnah Beitza says is not permitted, but to light a flame from a flame that already exists is permissible on yantiv if you're going to use it. So many have the practice to wait till after the husband comes home, and then they bench licht. Abitzele Petterburger was the most outstanding Talmud of Rav Sol Salanter and learning. Rav Sol Salanter had three very famous outstanding Talmidim, and he was the greatest learner among them. Rav Yitzchak Blaser, his name was. And he has a tshuva sefer, a very strong tshuva, pre-Yitzchak. So he has a long tshuva about this. He is of the opinion, and many follow Rav Sol Eichik followed that opinion, that more correct is that just like on Erev Shabbos we light the candles mitbod yom, so to an Erev Yontif, more correct is to light the candles mitbod yom, because the Vilna Gaon says that is the definition of kibud v'yoinig. Kibud means hachan is done in advance of Shabbos and Yontif, and yoinig is the pleasure that one derives on Shabbos and on Yontif from having prepared everything in advance. And the Rambam writes, everybody knows the famous Rambam. Rambam writes that just like on Shabbos, there's a din of kibud v'yoinig. The original pasuk of kibud v'yoinig only says in the Navi Yishai, only says by Shabbos, doesn't say by Yontif. The cross of the Shabbos onig with Dosh Hashem Mechubot. So kibud v'yoinig in the Navi only says regarding Shabbos, but the Rambam says that it carries over to all the yamim tov. Mishkulam Shabbos Hashem. All the yamim tov are referred to as Shabbos. You can't sphere me machros al Shabbos. So all the Yom Tovim are considered like Shabbos. So since on Yontif there's an obligation of kibud v'yoinig, and kibud means making achanas in advance, so that's why Rabbi Tzela Petterburg insists you should light the neres on Erev Yontif in advance as well. This is a famous Rambam. It's famous that the Rambam's against the Gemara. The Gemara is kemat v'feirish that the din of kibud v'yoinig only applies to Shabbos, does not apply to Yontif. So we don't know. Usually Beit Yisrael is based on Gemara's neres shver Rambam's. But over here, the Rambam is so famous, and the Gemara is a shver Gemara. We don't understand why the Gemara should say like that. That's when one of the Gedolim once said, what was the difference between Rav Chaim Soloveitchik and the other Gedolim? So they said, if an Adam Gadol says a Chiddush, and it's against the Gemara, so it's a Tzarchian Gadol on the Adam Gadol. If Rav Chaim says something that's against the Gemara, it's a Tzarchian Gadol on the Gemara. So usually on Rambams, usually we make Yisoides on Gemaras, and they're Shver Rambams. But over here, the Rambam is in place, and the Gemara is Epsat Sarachi and Gadol on the Gemara. So the many have the practice to be Madlik Neris Yontif, also Mibod Yom. Yontif Sheini, so it says if it's dark in the room, even though you're not permitted to do any Hachana, Yontif Rishon to Yontif Sheini, even just to set the table, you're not allowed to do, even though it's not a Malacha. Certainly not permitted. A lot of people have food in the freezer, and so they take out the food on Yontif Rishon a few hours before nighttime, so it should thaw out, and then they warm it up on Leil Yontif Sheni, which is not right. You shouldn't leave food in the freezer knowing that you're going to have to take it out on Yom Tov Rishon to make hachana for Yom Tov Sheni. That's also hachana. If one did leave the food in the freezer, and the only way you're going to have food on Yom Tov Sheni is by taking it out, you're going to take it out on Leil Yom Tov Sheni, you won't be able to warm it up. You have to wait till it thaws out. So then the Chayyadim says, if you have no choice, then you should take it out as early as possible on the first day Yom Tov, so you have hoyel. If you would have wanted to, you could have eaten the food today on Yom Tov Rishon. He's going to take it out late in the afternoon on Yom Tov Rishon. You don't have any oil. So if you really forgot, then you have no choice. You should take it out as early as possible on Yom Tov Rishon based on oil. But more correct is you shouldn't leave the food in the freezer that you plan to warm up on the second day Yom Tov. So it's not permissible to set the table for the second day on the first day. It's certainly not permissible to do any malachas on the first day for the second day. However, it says in Taisus that if it's getting dark late in the afternoon on Yom Tov Rishon and you want to light a candle because it's dark in the room, you want to see what you're doing, so that's you lighting Yom Tov Rishon for Yom Tov Rishon. But you lit a long candle that's going to burn for 5 hours, so that's Marbe B'Shurim, that's permissible. So are you saying a bracha? So Taisus says no, since it's permissible, even though you say a bracha and you make it obvious that this is also for Leil Yom Tov, but since it's also for now because it's getting dark in the room, so that's permissible. But if it's not getting dark in the room, you have the chandelier on. It's not getting dark at all. So then you talk you shouldn't. Then you're not allowed to light on Yom Tov Rishon for Yom Tov Sheni. If it's not getting dark. Shailas, if the chandelier is on, Taisus said, and the Ramah quotes the Laloch and Shulchan Aruch, that if the lights are on Erev Shabbos, you're supposed to extinguish the lights and then turn it back on the Shem Shabbos and then say the bracha. So if you have the chandelier on Yom Tov, you can't turn off the lights. Mechaber is also on Yom Tov. So does it make sense to light Neiris Yom Tov if the chandelier is on? Shraga b'ti haramayahani. So you're supposed to extinguish. So that's very questionable. Are you allowed to light candles at all on Leil Yom Tov Sheni if the lights are on? The Pashta says you're not allowed to. Pashtus is you're not allowed. Many have a meaning that they that on that day of Yom Tov when you say Yisker, so they light the Yahrzeit candle that it should burn the whole day. So in Eretz Yisrael there's only one day Yom Tov, so they say Yisker on Shvi Shal Pesach. But we have 2 days Yom Tov, so we have the meaning to say Yisker on the last day Pesach, Achron Shal Pesach. So if you want to light a Yisker candle, you're not going to light it on Chol HaMoed before Shvi Shal Pesach. You're going to light it on the last day. What are you lighting a candle for? That's what we call a ner shel avtala. You lit a candle for no purpose whatsoever. Yerushalmi talks about a ner shel avtala. So the Shulchan Aruch says you're not permitted to light a ner shel avtala. So the kids of Shulchan Aruch quotes this shaila. So some hold, no, it's mishum kibirav. That's the way to fulfill kibirav, is to light the yahrzeit candle on Yom Tov. So since you're fulfilling a mitzvah, so that's muta. And others say kibirav is when the parents are alive. To show kibirav. After they died already, to light your Yahrzeit candle, shvachi kibirav. So many of the kids of Shulchan Aruch doesn't like the practice. He thinks that it's not proper to light a Yahrzeit candle on Yom Tov. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, you're lighting on Chol HaMoed, Mechet Teisa. But to light it on Yom Tov is not really right.
To put a timer so the chandelier goes off in the afternoon?
If a person puts his chandelier on a timer so it goes off for 15 minutes for half an hour, then you light the nervous then, okay, so then you're lighting it when it's dark in the room, okay, that's fine. And the Prisha is a commentary on the bottom of the tour, and the introduction to the Prisha was written by his son. So he writes about his mother, Mrs. Prisha, what a learned woman she was, that she had chidushim, and everybody accepted her chidushim. So one of her chidushim, that not everybody accepted, but the common minig is like that, she said that on Erev Shabbos, the women have a minig, it's on Shulchan Aruch, they light the candles and they say the bracha afterwards, because if they say the bracha first, la'adik and Erev Shabbos, then it looks as if they were mekabel Shabbos, so how are they lighting the candles? You're not permitted to do a malacha after you light the candles. But on Erev Yom Tov, even if you are mekabel Yom Tov, you're still permitted to light candles. So therefore, on Erev Yom Tov, more correct is, you should say the bracha over l'asiyosim. So the Magen Avram doesn't like it, and he says, "Ein chachma l'isha ela bepalach." The women should stick to knitting and stitching and needlework. They shouldn't paskin the shaylos. But the later paskin accepted Mrs. Prisha's chiddush, So that's the more popular practice. When the women light the neres l'kavod yontif, they do say the bracha before. Many women have the practice when they ben shlicht, when they light the neres for yontif, so they say shehechiyonim. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger on the bottom of the page in the Shulchan Aruch refers you to Rabbi Yankiv Emden's Sefer, where he's not happy about this. He says the men can also say shechiyonu whenever they want on yontif. The Gemara says an erev and daf men shechiyonu the zman bracha of zman shechiyonu la zman azek oim rafi lebashuk. You can say the bracha strictly speaking while you're walking in the streets. Not necessary to say it over kiddush. It's not part of kiddush. However, the Gemara says if you'll save the shechiyonu to say it over the cup of the kiddush, you'll enhance the chashivas of the bracha. It'll become a bracha la kas. So for the women also, why should they say shechiyonu when they bench lift? More correct is they should wait till they say kiddush, till the husband says kiddush, and then they should say shechiyonu. So that's really the more correct practice. Your wife may not listen to you, so don't fight about it. But if your wife does listen, and then the women have to know that there's a difference. Those women who do say shechiyonu, they have to know that you only say shechiyonu on the last day of Sukkot, because Shmini Atzeres is regled b'fnei atzmai. But on the last days of Pesach, you don't say shechiyonu, because you already said shechiyonu on the first day. So some of the women realize that they don't know, so you'll be able to convince them, just rely on the husband shechiyonu. Let the husband take care of the shechiyonu. But it's not worth fighting about. Okay. Chametz b'Pesach is also b'achila, also b'hanoah. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they say one form of hanoah, let's say a person is a truck driver and he delivers baked goods. It's not his, it's not by Yerod, by Matz, it doesn't belong to him, but he's getting paid, he's getting salary, he's driving a truck on Chol HaMoed. So if they don't pay him to drive an empty truck, they only pay him to drive a truck with the food on it. So he's getting paid a salary to deliver the chametz. So that's considered a violation of Isuri Hanoah. So that you're not allowed to do. Then in Shulchan Aruch it says, let's say a person enjoys the smell of freshly baked bread, or freshly baked cakes and cookies. So you want to walk in front of the Goyish bakery that's open on Yontav, Pesach, Chol HaMoed, whatever, in order to have the pleasant smell of the chametz. So the Shulchan Aruch says that that's also. Even chametz shel nachri is also ba'ano. The Gemara had a havamin and the chametz shel nachri, just like there's no bal yirah, should be muta ba'achila, muta ba'ano. Gemara rejects it. It's not so. Chametz shel nachri is also ba'ano. So it's chametz shel nachri. You're not allowed to walk, not allowed to go out of your way to walk in front of the goyish bakery in order to enjoy the good smell of the freshly baked chametz. What happens if I'm walking to shul? And the shortest way to walk to shul is to walk in front of the bakery. Am I mechuyav to walk around and around, or to walk the other side of the street? So that's the Gemara in Psachim in the second parak. That's called Eifshar v'loy kam mechavin. He's not really interested in smelling the chametz. He knows it's a, even if it's a psigresha, he knows what he's going to walk by, he's going to enjoy the smell. But he's not really going out of his way. So the Gemara says that that is permissible. That's not called getting hanok. Eifshar v'loy kam mechavin, since we pass on like Reb Shimon, the Dov Shenim is Kavin is Mutter. So we would say that that's permissible.
Like pizza shops and stuff like that. That's also included.
If you enjoy the smell, yeah. The Chumash says we're not permitted to do melech on yontif unless it's melech ha'sochel nefesh, but not all forms of melech ha'sochel nefesh are mutter. So Tosfos in the very beginning of Maseches Beitza points out it's beferish in the Gemara. A lot of people don't know this, that you're not allowed to squeeze out oranges. Even the mashkin shezava me'aleim, even if the orange got squeezed out by itself, the Tanoi made a gzeri. You're not allowed to drink the juice that got squeezed out by itself. A gzeri shema yischok. So you see, for sure, you're not allowed to squeeze out oranges. You're not allowed to pluck off fruit from the tree. So it's not so pashut that the din is not all malachas ochan nefesh is mutran yontif. So you have to check every step to make sure that you're not violating any sin. The Gemara says you're not permitted to cook for a nachri. So the word lachem has a connotation for the Bnei Yisrael. Lachem v'lo l'nachrim. So the Gemara made gzeira de rabbanon. You're not permitted to invite a non-Jew to your seder. Let's say you have a friend who's in the process of converting, and they want to see what a seder is all about. So the Gemara says you may invite a non-Jewish guest on Shabbos, because on Shabbos we don't cook for anybody. We don't cook for the Jews either. But on Yontav, where we cook for the Jews, but we're not allowed to cook for the Nochrim, even if he's died or his Geyer. So the Gemara says, you're not permitted to invite a Nochri, Gzeresh Emi Yarbe Bishvilo. You may forget and cook some food for the Nochrim. Mishnah Berurah is machmir. The Magen Avraham has two opinions. What if there's a Jew who's so anti-religious, he's so lacking in observance, he's dina kenochri. Chal Shabbos b'feresed dina kenochri. A person who worships Avodah Zarah is dina kenochri. A person who violates Rov dina HaTorah is dina kenochri. So if you have a person who is a Jewish person who's dina kenochri, is he also included in Lachem v'loy la'akum? And he's saying, no, sof kol sof, he's Jewish. You can't sell your chometz to the Jew who's dina kenochri. You can't use him as a Shabbos goy. He's still Jewish. With respect to certain dinim, we'd say that the Jew who's very non-observant is dina kenochri, but not with respect to all the dinim. So the Magen Avraham quotes a machloikis about this, whether a Yisrael who's dina kenochri is dina kenochri with respect to this din of lachem v'lo lenochrim. So the Mishnah Berurah writes lachumra, and he doesn't write that it's a machloikis and he's being machriya. In the footnotes on the bottom of the page in the Sharatzim, when he gives you the Marmekaimus, so he writes, a Jew is dina kenochri, he can't cook, so he writes pashut. Self-evident. It's not self-evident at all. Machlek is achreinim in the Magen Avraham. How can he say pashut? It's a little unfair. And then the Mishnah Berurah goes one step further and says, you're not allowed to invite such a person to your home on Yontif, because it exeris Shem Yarbe Bishvim. Yeah, if you say pashut, if the first step is true, that it's self-evident, it's so obvious that you're not allowed to cook for him, then you have the Gzeri Shemei, then for sure you have the Gzeri Shemei Arba B'Shvili. So that's questionable. Sometimes you get stuck, you have to invite a non-Jew to the Seder, one who's planning to convert. So then some of the poskim say, if all the food, all the cooking in the kitchen is being done by non-Jews, let's say in all the hotels, the people who do, they have mashgichim in all the kitchens to make sure that everything is done properly, that Hilchus Shabbos and Hilchus Yontif are not violated, to make sure that it's not Bishul Akum, but all the cooking is basically done by the non-Jews. So if a non-Jewish guest in the hotel, they don't check everybody's bris milah to make sure that all the guests, they have, some hotels have over 1,000 guests, so they're going to check every person to make sure that he's Jewish. I'm sure they have some guests who are not Jewish. So how come they don't check everybody? So the answer is that all the cooking is done by non-Jews in the hotel. So if a non-Jewish guest is going to say, I'd like another bowl of soup, I'd like a cup of coffee, so the cooking is going to be done by non-Jews, not going to be done by Jews. So Dain Grosnas has a tshuva about that, where he writes, if the kitchen is run by non-Jews, so then there's no gzeri shemei yarbe b'shvilim. The Gemara has a din, let's say a non-Jew walks in, I didn't invite him. Non-Jew comes into my home and he says, here I am, I'd like to eat by you on Yom Tov. So you don't have to, the Gemara says, you don't have to throw him out. You don't have to tell him you can't eat. You have to tell him nicely with Derech Eretz, today's Yom Tov, we're only permitted to cook on behalf of Jewish people who have to observe Yom Tov. On behalf of non-Jews who don't have to observe Yom Tov, even if you're volunteering to observe it, we're not permitted to cook for non-Jews. So whatever's on the table you can eat, but don't ask for extra.
Are most like non-observant Jews today considered a connection ishbel, or so this wouldn't apply to them?
Yeah, it wouldn't apply. Most of the Mechal Shabbos b'frahesia. B'frahesia means very much b'mezid. Very much b'mezid that the majority of the community is observing Shabbos and he's breaking the discipline. The Chazanish writes, based on the Binyan Siyah and many other poskim, that if you live in a community with so many Jews, the majority of the Jews are not Shomer Shabbos, you can't say that the one who's Mechal Shabbos is Befehesya. Sometimes you have a Mumma L'Rov Dini HaTorah, yeah, but that you have to know. Let's say the guy only knows from four mitzvahs. He knows from Yisker, Kaddish, Yahrzeit, Israeli Parade, and whatever, and Shabbos. So he observes 3 out of 5. The Yisker, the Kaddish, the Yahrzeit, and Parade, he does observe. One or two, Karas HaMishpacha, but the Shabbos, that he doesn't observe. So if a person is a Mumma L'Rov Dini HaTorah that he's aware of, then it's also Dina Kakum. So unfortunately, we have very few people like that who are Mumrim Dina Kakum. What's the din if somebody dies? Are you allowed to have a funeral on Yontif? So the Gemara says, Yontif Rishon, you can have the funeral. You have to have non-Jews do the melacha. Usually Amir al-Nachri is not permissible, but the Mokam Meis, we allow it on Yontif. On Shabbos, we don't allow it. On Yontif, we do permit it. And on Yontif Sheni, we can even have the Kvura done all day Yisrael. So Moshe Feinstein was of the opinion, he has this in his Tshuvas, that Heter only applied centuries ago where they didn't have freezers. So there was going to be, the mesa is going to decay. Mesa is going to start to decay. But today, when someone dies, they put him in a freezer. So the body is not going to decay. It's not going to smell up the whole place. It says the whole heter was mishum kavod abri is kavod ames. But he holds that today the whole din doesn't apply. So then they told him, apikiris, he's saying din in Shulchan Aruch doesn't apply. How can you say that? So he fudges a little bit. He says, that's what I said. It didn't, doesn't apply. What's wrong? So that's why years ago, the Agudas Rabbanim in New York made a gzeira. I remember when I was growing up, they used to have funerals on the second day Yom Tov, and people would drive their cars. People would, obviously, they called each other on the telephone, and all the relatives from Long Island, everybody from Pennsylvania, everybody would drive in on Yom Tov Sheni, they would drive in on Yom Tov Rishon, they would drive, everybody would come in, everybody would drive, go to the cemetery. That there's no heter for. So I go to Sabana, made an issue, even if Rav Moshe is not right, he shouldn't have any funerals on Yom Tov Rishon, shouldn't have on Yom Tov Sheni. He put the body in the freezer, wait till after Yom Tov. The whole thing is not right. It's not really right. Is it permissible to carry a talis to shul? So the Mishnah has a machlokes b'shamay and b'shilu. B'shamay are of the opinion that the chumash only says echol nefesh, only preparing food, and b'shilu are of the opinion that not mitoch shuach with a tzarach echol nefesh, which would not mishulah the tzarach echol nefesh as long as it's a tzarach hayom k'tzas. Any, you have to judge each and every one of the 39 malachas. Sometimes you're allowed to carry food the tzarach echol nefesh. Let's say I want to have the Seder over here. So I have all the food over here, and I forgot to bring Morer. So you're permitted to carry the Morer in the Rishus Rab in order to eat it over here. So Hoitzor is Mutter, the Tzarech HaChol Nefesh. So Hoitzor, to carry a Talis, will be Mutter, the Tzarech HaYom Ktsas. Any Malacha, you have to judge each and every Malacha. Is this Malacha ever Mutter, the Tzarech HaChol Nefesh? And then if it is, then it'll be Mutter, the Tzarech HaYom Ktsas. So carrying is sometimes Mutter, the Tzarech HaChol Nefesh. If you want to carry the food to eat, you want to have a picnic in the park, so you're allowed to carry the food on Yom Tov to eat it in the park. Then mainly you're allowed to carry your talis. So that's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shita Mekubetzes in the first parak, the beginning of Ksubis, the Gemara talks a little bit about the mitoch. So the Shita Mekubetzes quotes the Ravid's opinion. Where did Beis Hillel get this idea from? Where does it say in Chumash that you're permitted? Beis Shammaya, right? The Chumash only says you're permitted to do malacha for the purpose of Echol Nefesh. How did Beis Hillel come up with this Einfal? Mitoch any malacha, each one of the 39 malacha, any malacha that's muta, the tzorach achon nefesh, is also muta, the tzorach hayom ktsas. Where do they get it from? So they arrive at the different suggestions in the Rishon. There's a whole sefer on this, the sefer Malachas Yontif, by Rav Moshe Sokolovsky. He was the Rosh Yeshiva, there was a yeshiva in Brisk, and Rav Moshe Sokolovsky was the head of the yeshiva. He wrote two svarim. He wrote the sefer Malachas Yontif was before he learned for Rav Chaim. So that's the old style. And after you learn Rav Chaim, it's a different person. So then he wrote the Imre Moshe. It's a different man. A different write, the way, a different way of writing. Everything, different way of thinking. Everything he was doing. So in the Sefer Malachas Yom Tov, the whole Sefer about this. About Tzarech HaNefesh, Tzarech HaYom Ktsas, all of this. So the Ravid claims that the heter for Tzarech HaYom Ktsas is based on the word Lochem, Lochol Tzarech Eichem. Means lachol tzarchechem, other needs as well. And the Gemara has this drasha lachem lachol tzarchechem with respect to something else in the end of Beitza, with respect to machshir eichal nefesh. So the Gemara says machshir eichal nefesh is only muta if ziyef shalasas mebod yom, because it says there's a riboy and a miut. You have lachem is a riboy. L'chol tzarchechem, and levado is a miut. So the heter, l'chol tzarchechem, is restricted. So it's only if it was e'ef shalasas mabod yom. If you could have, what do you do on Shabbos if you don't have an erev? You don't carry the talis to the shul on Shabbos. Carry the talis to the shul on erev Shabbos. You could have carried your talis to the shul and erev Yom Tov also. What's so difficult? So the rabbi is of the opinion that any tzarach hayom ktsas, like carrying your talis to shul, if you're carrying a machzor to shul, you could have easily carried the machzer on Erev Yom Tov, so there's no heter to carry the machzer on Yom Tov. The chol tzarchechem is only mutam when it's eif shalasas mebod yom. That's not the way it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says that it is mutam, that hoitzor on Yom Tov is mutam, even if you could have done it mebod yom. But this is what the Ravid holds. The Ravid holds, according to the Ravid, you'll be dealing with an issue that arises. To do a meloch on Yom Tov, tzarach hayom ktsas, which you could have done on Erev Shabbos, he holds that that's not permissible. Everybody wants to know about taking a hot shower on Yom Tov. Everybody knows you don't take a hot shower on Shabbos because you're cooking the water you turn on the hot water, so you're causing more cold water to get cooked. But at Yom Tovi, you're allowed to cook. You're allowed to cook water to drink it. You're allowed to cook water l'tzarach hayom tzas. If you want to bathe the body, so should it be permissible to take a hot shower? So the Mishnah quotes the Machlokes Bisham and Bisilu. So Bisilu say yes, they hold from Mitoich. You're allowed to heat water to wash panav yodav veraglov, to wash your hands, your feet, and your face. So Tosis wants to know why only panav yodav veraglov? Why not to heat up water on yantav to bathe all of the body? So Tosis comes up with the following answer. That the Gemara has a din in the days of the Tanaim, the days of the Gemara, they used to have a practice after they would finish eating, after they would bench Birchas HaMazon, whoever benched Mezumen would be Mechubed with the next Kibud. Next Kibud was they would say a bracha on Bari Minib Psamim and the Atzei Psamim, whatever they would bring in on the weekdays. They would bring in coals, burning hot coals, and they would put some kind of incense on the coals and it would catch flame. And everybody would inhale this, and it would smell delicious. So they enjoyed that. So the Gemara says, on Yontif, are you permitted to do that? You're permitted to do Havara, L'tzarach Ochel Nefesh. You're allowed to burn logs in order to cook food, in order to eat the food. So since Havara is Mutar, L'tzarach Ochel Nefesh, it should really be Mutar, L'tzarach Yom Ktsas. Why isn't this L'tzarach Yom Ktsas? To smell the fragrant aroma of the besamim that are burning? So the Gemara says, no, that the Pasuk says, Hulavad Yosel Lachem, Nefesh. So the Gemara says, Dova Hashav Lechol Nefesh, something that everybody enjoys. But this is Mugmer's Dova Sheina Shav Lechol Nefesh. What exactly does that mean? You have to take a poll to determine how many people enjoy it, how many people don't enjoy it. So the Pnei Yeshua and Perikira in the third Perik and Shabbos points out that Tosfos gives you a sharp definition. Tosfos says the definition is the following. Lechol Nefesh is, You do something libriya saguf for your good health. You eat food, that's healthy. But if you're going to burn mugma to smell, that's only the tainik bialma. That's only an aesthetic pleasure. That doesn't really fill you up. So for aesthetic pleasure, you're not allowed. So Tosfos claims that to take a bath, the whole body, a shower, a bath, that's only aesthetic pleasure. Only mufunakim do that. Normal people don't do that. Normal people just warm up water, they wash panav yodav veraglav. So you're allowed to cook water on Yontif to wash panav yodav veraglav. That's Echol Nefesh. That's Orach HaYom Ktsas. But to heat up water to take a whole shower on the whole body, that you're not allowed to do. Yeah, this was true in the days of George Washington. Yeah, in the days of the Tanaim. The days of George Washington, they took a shower once a year. And when they would smell, so they would throw perfume on the body. And they would smell them, or they would throw more perfume on the body. This was until Whitney invented the cotton gin, and then they started making cotton underwear. And then it says in all the history books you learned in high school, when they invented cotton underwear, so everybody started bathing much more often. So if the pshat in the Mishnah is the way Tosfos says, then mizmanazeh, it should be permissible to take a hot shower on Shabbos Yontif. Should be permissible on Yontif because you're not doing the malacha is being done. Dar v'ashav lechol nefesh. So in Shulchan Aruch, that's the way it says. It says like Tosfos, the reason of Tosfos. The Mishnah Berurah, however, brings to your attention that the Ramban disagrees with Tosfos. He thinks that it was never true. He thinks, what do you mean? In the days of the Tanaim, everybody did like George Washington. There were Tanaim who used to take a shower and a bath every couple of days, maybe every other day, maybe every day, whatever. How can you say it's only for Mefunokim? It's Latina. It's not only Latina. It's Libriya Saguf. So the Ramban thinks that what Tosfos says is not the correct pshat. It gives a different pshat. He says that the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos in the third parak they made Gzeres HaBalonim. Balonim are bathhouse attendants. So you understand yourself that a learned person is probably not going to be a bathhouse attendant, a garbage collector. It doesn't have a PhD. So the bathhouse attendants were Pashutim Balabatim. They weren't so learned. They weren't so religious. So the bathhouse attendants, they used to have the bathhouses open on Shabbos, and people would come Shabbos afternoon to take a warm bath. So you're not allowed to make the fire on Shabbos. So the bathhouse attendants would tell them, don't worry, the fire was on from Erev Shabbos, and it was a lie. They turned on the fire on Shabbos. They didn't want to burn up so much fuel. So they used to violate Chilul Shabbos. They weren't so observant. They didn't know you're dealing with an Issa Karis, with an Issa Skilo. So he used to heat up the water on Shabbos, and they violated Havara, and they violated Bishul and everything. So because of the Balanim who were not observant, so the Chachamim made a prohibition, you're not allowed to take a hot bath on Shabbos, even if you know, even if you filled up the bathtub on Erev Shabbos with hot water, you know that Bevadai nobody violated anything, that's Gzeres HaBalanim. Rechitza Bechamen on Shabbos is also because of this Gzeres, because of the Gzeres HaBalanim. So the Ramban says that the Gemara in Beitza has several Gzeres that were initially instituted for Shabbos that made sense on Shabbos, but the Gemara says they made it, they carried it over to Yontav, Gzeres Yontav to Shabbos. Even though it does make sense on Yontav, they made Gzeres Yontav to Shabbos. So the Ramban thinks that the same is true, you're not allowed to heat up water on Yontav, you're not allowed to heat up water on Yontav to take a whole bath or a shower for the whole body, it's because of the Gzeres HaBalanim, because Rechitza Bechamen is also to wash the pun of the other Raglav only parts of the body on Shabbos with hot water that was heated before Shabbos, that's permissible. The Gzeres HaBalanim is only to take a shower on the roiv of the body. So the Gzeres HaBalanim, which was instituted on Shabbos, makes sense on Shabbos, carries over to Yom. So the Mishnah Brura quotes this, that even though the Shulchan Aruch says like Tosfos, and strictly speaking, Bizman HaZeh should be mutter to take a hot shower, a hot bath on Yom Tov, so he says that we don't do that, we're choshish for the Ramban, and then he quotes a Machloikas Achreinim, Rabbi Kivege has this Machloikas Achreinim, the Gzeres HaBalanim, that you're not allowed to take a hot bath, a hot shower, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, is that only if the water is Yad Soledes Bo, or even if it's Poshrim? Yad Soledes is not the same as Yad Nichvis. Yad Nichvis means that it's scalding. That if you put your hand in a tub, if you take a shower with Yad Nichvis, your whole skin is going to be red. You're going to burn yourself. That's Yad Nichvis. Yad Soledes, that's scalding hot water. Yad Soledes means, if I'm not prepared for it, Basalda v'chilo mipanecho, the Pasuk says. If you don't realize that it's burning hot water and you put your leg in, so you're going to jump out. But you can keep your feet, you can take a bath in the shower in Yad Soledes water. It's not impossible. So if Gevege quotes a machleke sachrenim, whether the Gzeres HaBalanim only applies if it's Yad Soledes, but if it's poshrim, it's only lukewarm, that's permissible. Or maybe not so, maybe the Gzeres HaBalanim, Rechitza Bechamen, is even prohibited if it's only poshrim. So the Mishnah Brura usually noita lahachmer. So he quotes the Beis Meir, says like that. Beis Meir talks about women going to the mikveh. Are you allowed to heat up water that the women should be able to go to the mikveh on Yontif in hot water? So the Beis Meir says they shouldn't, because he thinks it's the heat up water is rechitza bechamin, the Ramban. But he says if you're only going to heat up so much water to take out the chill, and it's even less than poshrim, it's not even lukewarm. Some people don't enjoy taking a cold shower. Other people don't enjoy that. So that you can turn on a little bit of hot water just to take out the chill, but you can't even call the water lukewarm. So the Mishnah Brura quotes the Beis Meir, that's muta l'chaladeus. That is no shaila for him. So that's what he quotes. If a person wants to take a shower on Yontif, on Shabbos, we're concerned that turning on the hot water may cause bishul, you're causing new cold water to get cooked. But on Yontif, one bishul should be mutter the tzarech hayom k'tzas to bathe the body. So it's just an issue of Gzeres HaBalanim. So then the Mishnah Brura quotes the Beis Meir, just to turn on the hot water to take out the chill, that should certainly be permissible. On Pesach, the Mishnah says it's the season of the year of spring, and in the Middle East, they have a rainy season and a dry season, so it hardly rains at all in the middle of the summer. If you go visit Eretz in the summertime, and for Sukkot, you don't need an umbrella. Once in a long while, it happens to rain on Sukkot, but usually it doesn't rain on Sukkot. So the Gemara says, when we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness, Mechal Kachayim Bechesed, and so on, the praise has to correspond to our perception. So in the winter time, when we say Ati Gibor, so you mention Mashav Ruach Morid HaGashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes it to rain because it's the rainy season. And then in this season of the year, starting from Pesach till Sukkot, and Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't make sense to say Mashav Ruach Morid HaGashem. The Rabban Shalom is the Mashav Ruach Morid HaGashem in the winter time, but in this season in Eretz Yisrael, you don't see it. So you don't say Morid HaGashem. You don't say Morid HaGashem. So we bench Tal. We on the first day Pesach we announce. The Gemara says she really benched Tal by Ma'ariv. But the shul is not going to be as crowded by Maariv. Shacharis also the shul is half empty. We have the minig also, the minig from the Heilige Tanaim. They said the Tanaim had minig. People come to shul, the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. So Musaf, the shul is going to be crowded. So the Gemara says, we're going to bench Tal by Musaf, because Shacharis is half empty and Maariv is half empty. So we bench Tal by Musaf. And the din is to change the description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence. You have to have the tzibur has to change it. A yochid is going to change the description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It may sound like avodah zarah. So the tzibur has to change. So let's say someone is sick in the hospital. Rachman al Islam. I know people who are going to the hospital now. They're sick. They won't be able to daven in shul on Pesach. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch in the Gemara, they shouldn't switch from Mashiv Aruch to Merid Atol. They shouldn't switch till after they know that the local minion switched already. That's a shaila. A lot of shuls have a hashkama minion and a second minion. So the hashkama minion, they already bench tal by Musaf, and then the second minion davens in the same room. So the daven shachris, they're saying mashiv uruch, but they already bench tal in the first minion. So the Mishnah Berurah says that when you bench geshem and you bench tal, you shouldn't have the early minion. You should only have one minion. You shouldn't have two minion. Okay? You have to have the reshus of the tzibur. The tzibur has the right to change to Ari Hashem. Hashem came Baruch Aleinu, when you switch to the same Talamata, the same Bracha, that you don't need the reshus from the tzibur. You're not changing the description of Elikus. When you need rain, you ask for rain. When you don't need rain, you don't ask for rain. So most of the poskim assume that to switch on December 4th, when you switch and you start saying same Talamata, you don't have to wait till the tzibur does it. How exactly does the tzibur make this announcement? So in the Shulchan Aruch it says that the Gabbai should make an announcement before Musaf. So what should he announce? So it says, on Shmini Atzeres he announces, Mashavoch Merid HaGeshem. Everybody should say Mashavoch. What's he going to say on Pesach? So the Shulchan Aruch says, if you daven Nusach Svarad, and the minig is that they say Merid HaTov, so the Gabbai should announce, Merid HaTov. But if the daven Nusach Ashkenaz doesn't say Marid Atol, so what are you going to announce? Nobody should say Mashiv Uruch Marid HaGeshem. So that's not right. To make an announcement, nobody should say Marid HaGeshem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us Geshem, that's Ribui Brocha. We don't want Geshem in the dry season, that's not normal. But you're not supposed to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara tells Machoni Amago, you're not allowed to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu should stop giving us Shefa Brocha. Even though the Brocha is too much, we can't take it. And it's ruining the whole neighborhood. It's not right. So if you daven Nusach Ashkenaz, so the minig is that the Gabbai doesn't announce anything before Musaf. Everybody says Mashiach Merid HaGeshem until the Chazan says Merid Atol and the Chazaras Hashas. In some communities in Eretz Yisrael, they have this practice. They say the whole piyut. They bench tal the whole piyut that we say in the middle of Musaf. So they say it before Musaf. Okay. So that's the hachrazah. So if they said the piyut, benching tal before you start the daven, before everybody starts the tefillah balach hashav musaf, so that's the hachrazah that everybody should say stop saying mashav ruach in the middle of musaf. In the summertime, if someone by mistake said mashav ruach merid hageshem, then is you have to daven over the shemana esrei. Or in the winter time, if a person forgot to say mashav ruach merid hageshem, he has to daven over the shemana esrei. Our practice is the Ashkenazim have a practice that you only duchen on yontif. The Kohanim are really supposed to duchen every day when called upon to duchen. But it says you only duchen when the Kohanim are in a good mood. And everybody's running to make a parnasa and the economy is awful and people are losing their jobs and people are losing their savings. So no one is happy. So on Yontif we forget about our woes and we eat and drink and we get merry. So on Yontif we bench, we duchen and the rest of the year, even on Shabbos we don't duchen. That's the minig. The chiyuv of the Kohanim to duchen is only when they're called upon. So our minig is we don't call upon them any time other than yontif, and then the common minig is that they only duchen on musaf and yontif. They don't even duchen on shachris. And the Mishnah it says they're supposed to duchen shachris and musaf, and the minig most places is you only duchen in musaf, you don't duchen in shachris. So there are several dinim that a lot of people violate in duchening. First of all, the Kohanim is supposed to pick up their hands, at least kineged ksefeim. At least the height of their shoulders or higher. But a lot of times the Kohanim pick up their hands like this, so they're not Yetzi. That's not called Nesias Kapai. But Yisarin is Yod of Alon by Yvorchem. It's next week's Seder in Parashat Shmini. You have to pick up your hands at least Kineged Haksefayim. Secondly, the Kohanim are supposed to say the bracha b'kol rom. What do you mean b'kol rom? Loud enough that the people should hear. So if you have only a small minion, 15 people, 10 people standing in front of you, so you can whisper and everybody will hear. If you have a big packed shul and the people are standing in the back, so you have to scream loud enough that everybody in the shul should be able to hear. You don't always have to scream. Kol rom means loud enough that everyone should hear the Kohanim saying the psukim of Yirecha Hashem Yishmerecha. In the days of the Gemara, there was a practice. The Gemara in Soita records this practice in Perek Eilon Amorim. Then when the Kohanim used to say each word of the Duchening, the Tzibur would recite a Pasuk. So the Gemara says, what do you mean they recite? But they have to pay attention to the Kohanim saying the Yivrecha Hashem Yishmerecha. So the Gemara says, we're all geniuses. We can pay attention to the Kohanim saying the Duchening at the same time while we're saying the Pasuk. And the Gemara says, we do it all the time by Moedim. The Chazan says the Moedim, and we say Moedim the Rabbanon simultaneously, and we are able to pay attention to the Chazan even though we're saying Moedim the Rabbanon at the same time. So the Tur writes that Yardo Chulshal Oilam, people have Shvach Hekep, the heads are too weak, Bizmanas, that they cannot concentrate on the Duchening if they're going to be reciting Psukim at the same time. So it says the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Tur, you shouldn't say the Psukim. You want to look in the Siddur to have in mind the Psukim, a different story, but you shouldn't say the Psukim that appear in the Siddur at the same time that Kohanim are saying Recha Shem Shemecha, because you cannot concentrate on both. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said. If the Torah said you can't concentrate on the Duchening, so the same thing by Moedim. So it's not right. We're going to say Moedim the Rabban at the same time the Chazan says the Moedim and the Shemana Esrei. The Torah said we're not such geniuses. We can't concentrate. That's what Rabbi Soloveitchik said. The Chazan should pause a little bit in the middle of Moedim. We should give everybody a chance to say Moedim the Rabbanon. Then he should say the rest of the Moedim out loud. But at least over here, by the Duchening, that says in Shulchan Aruch that we discontinued this practice of reciting the Psukim at the same time that the Kohanim are saying the Duchening. Then the Gemara has a din in Shulchan Aruch. It's a din. You have to have Panim Keneged Panim. A lot of people are so concerned they're not allowed to look at the Kohanim's hands. So when the Kohanim go up to Duchen, they turn around. I think by the women more so than by the men. A lot of the women turn around, they turn their backs to the Kohanim. So the Gemara says, you're not included in the bracha. You have to be facing the Kohanim. Rabbi Yankov Emden is even upset about the minig that began in the days of Rabbi Yosef Karo, that the Kohanim cover their faces. Some communities, they used to cover their faces and not their hands, and other communities they used to cover their hands as well. But he says they cover their faces, so how is that panim connected panim? So he says, you're not allowed to cover the face. He doesn't like that name. So that we do have, but still you're supposed to face the Kohanim. If you turn your back around, that's not right. Well, let's say, so the Gemara says that if the Kohanim are facing the Tzibur, so you don't have to be mamish in front of the Kohanim. If you're standing on the side, it's also good. So the Mishnah Berurah says, yeah, good, but you shouldn't face Mizrach, you shouldn't face straight ahead. You should turn around and face the Kohanim. Stand on the side and face the Kohanim. I always daven in the Yeshiva, I always daven all the way up in the front, in the Mizrach land. So when the Kohanim duchan, I turn around, instead of looking to the front wall, I turn sideways to look at the Kohanim. That's what it says in the Mishnah Berurah. You should face sideways. So that should be considered panim keneged panim. In the Shulchan Aruch, there's a whole discussion. When the Kohanim start off facing the Aron Kodesh, and then they turn around to face the Tzibur, but then they finish, turn around again to face the Aron Kodesh. So which direction should they turn? Should they turn around clockwise or counterclockwise? So there are different opinions. Which is more correct? All the Kohanim should make up in advance is going to be either one or the other. Half of them doing one way, half doing the other way. Doesn't look nice. And most are of the opinion that the more correct practice should be to turn around clockwise. So the Kohanim should all make up amongst themselves. They should all turn around clockwise. The Gemara has a din that the Kohanim have to start walking towards the Duchen. The Duchen is the elevated platform. It's supposed to be an elevated platform for the Kohanim to stand on. Some of the Sfaradishit Poskim hold that the elevated platform is Ma'akev. The Ashkenazim Poskim, no one ever said that. So I noticed, I remember many years ago, I daven and Kol Torah, and they were Duchening on a regular Shabbos. So they had a platform there. So first they let all the Sfaradishit Kohanim walk up on the platform. After all the Sfardim went up, then if there was a little bit room left, so a couple of Ashkenazim walked up, and then the rest of the Ashkenazim was standing on the floor, because it's only some of the Sfardish Poskim hold that amid ala duchen, the duchen is the platform, is liikuva. If you don't have a platform, you can't duchen. But we hold it's not liikuva. So the Gemara has it in that the Kohanim have to at least start walking to the duchen before the chazan finishes the bracha of hamachzeh shchinos v'tzion. That's called the bracha of avodah.
I just wanted to know if the Kohanim, since the minhag now that they don't duchen, are they mocha their kavod automatically? They're mocha their kavod. Do they have to mocha their kavod?
No, no, it's not a question about mocha their kavod. If we don't ask them to duchen, then they're not obligated to. When we scream out Kohanim, that means we're requesting of them that they should do. The Gemara has a din also, if there's only one Kohen, then you don't call out Kohanim. So a lot of times the Chazan knows that, so he screams out Kohen. So there is such an opinion in the Yerushalmi that Tosis quotes, but that's not the accepted opinion. We say he doesn't call out anything. The single Kohen, Duchen's on his own. We don't call upon him. You only call upon him if there are two or more Kohanim.
What if somebody's an Ashkenazi Kohen and he's davening in a Sephardi in the Chutz Lars, can he duchen?
Yeah, he has to duchen. He's obligated. If they call upon him, if they say Kohanim, he's mechuyev to duchen. Yeah, sure. By Hasidim and many Sephardish and Mekubalim, they have a minig that they don't count Svira the second night of Pesach. They don't count Svira after Meir. They wait to count Svira after the Seder is over. What is that all about? So that's based, different explanations are given. The Ravid, in the end of Tzachim, on the last page in the Rif, the Ravid has a whole explanation, different explanation. But the Hasidim and the Mekubalim, the Sfardish and Mekubalim, they give a different reason, that the Zohar raises a question, why don't we recite Halal Shalom on Shvi Yishal Pesach, Zechel Anes, because of the Kriyas Yamsuf that occurred on Shvi Yishal Pesach. So the Zohar gives an answer, because in the middle of Sfira we are observing Avelis, and it's not proper to recite Halal Shalem al Anes. So Leil Pesach by the Seder we recite Halal, and Pesach in the morning we recite Halal. So Pesach in the morning, the Halal that we recite is because of Simchas Yontif. That has nothing to do with any Nes. But the Halal to the Seder, that's because of the Nes. B'chol davar dor chai v'arim liris esatzmo. We have to have the feeling, the perception, as if we just left Mitzrayim, and therefore we feel we're obligated. We have to recite Halel. So that's a Halel b'shas hanes, Halel b'shas hanes, Halel zechel hanes. That's not right to say Halel shalem during the Sfira, because Sfira is an inyan of Avelis even before Talmid Rebbe Akiva darts. An inyan of Avelis men haTorah. That's how the Zohar says. So that's why many Mekubalim have a meaning, Mekubalim, because it's based on the Zohar, that they don't begin to count Sfira till after the Seder is over. There's no problem Halal in the morning on the second day Pesach. That's not a Halal has to do with the Nes. That's a Halal because of the Simchas Yontif. But again, by the non-Mekubalim and the Misnagdim, that's clearly not the meaning. The meaning is that you count Sfira after Ma'ariv, before you have the Seder. And we don't worry about that Zohar. We'll survive with the Zohar. Davening on Chalamoid, the din is you have to mention Yalav Yavoy. The Gemara says if one forgot Yalav Yavoy, has to repeat the Shemana Esrei. People make a mistake. The Gemara says that there's an exception to the rule Ma'ariv of Rosh Chodesh. If a person forgets Yalav Yavoy, Ma'ariv of Rosh Chodesh, so then the Gemara says you don't have to repeat the Shemana Esrei. The Gemara has a whole reason why. But Ma'ariv of Chalamoid, you do have to repeat the Shemana Esrei. In benching, you don't have to repeat, because on Chol HaMoed, one is not obligated to have bread. You're not allowed to fast, but you're not required to have a seuda. So therefore, the whole reason why, if you forgot to say Ritzeya, Yalav Yovah, on Shabbos and Yontif, you have to bench over, the benching you were Yotzeh, just not Yotzeh, the Suda Shabbos or the Suda Yontif. By mentioning Ritzeya and Yalav Yovah, that's Kaveh, the Suda, L'shem, Suda Shabbos. So on Chol HaMoed, you're not mechuyev to have a suda. So if you forgot Yalav Yov in the benching, you ate a meal, you yotze the benching, so you weren't kaveh the suda, the shame suda siyantra. So it's not a problem. On Chol HaMoed, one is not permitted to do malachas. There are several heterim. There's a heter echal nefesh. You don't have to cook in advance. For yontif, whatever you can cook in advance, and it's going to taste just as good, So you should cook in advance. That's how Rashi says. Whatever is after Lasim Lod Yom, you shouldn't cook on Yonfit. But V'chalamad, you don't even have to try to cook everything in advance. You're permitted to cook in a Chalamad. If it's Tzorchei Aguf also, the person wants to make a doctor's appointment, a dental appointment, anything Tzorchei Aguf is Het Tegomer, you don't have to even try to avoid it. For other Tzorchei, Tzorcha Yom, for other Tzorochim, Tzorcha Moed, so then the din is whatever you could have taken care of before Yontif, you should. And you're only allowed to do it on Yontif if it's a Maisa Hedyot. If it's a Malecha Suman, then you're not permitted to do it on Yontif. That's the correct time? Okay. Then there's a Heta Dov HaOved. If a person is afraid he's not going to go to work on Chalamah, he's going to lose his job. So that's a Dov HaOved. A person has a shop. So if he's going to close for Shabbos Yontif, okay. He's going to close for the whole Chalmoid 8 days in a row, so he can lose all of his customers. They'll get used to going somewhere else. So whenever there's a concern, he may lose what he has already. He may lose his job. He may lose his customers. So that's considered Dov HaOved. The fact that he doesn't go into work and he's going to lose $2,000 of salary, that's not called Dov HaOved. Not to gain the profit, that's what the Yisra Malach is all about. You're not supposed to gain the money. But if you're concerned that you may possibly lose what you have already, that's considered Dov HaOved. And Shulchan Aruch it says, Mechaber writes this, that if a person hears a Dvar Chiddush and he's afraid he's going to forget it, if he doesn't write it down, that's also considered Dov HaOved. Well, let's say a person, you're allowed to read the college books on Chalamoid. So a person's studying some secular studies and he's afraid he's going to forget it. So he wants to underline something or he wants to write notes. Okay? So that's also a double hobby. He was allowed to study it in the first place, and if he's afraid he's going to lose it, he's afraid he's going to forget what he studied. So that's considered a double hobby. For the purpose of double hobby, you're only allowed to do Malechus Hedyot. Malechus Suman you're not allowed to do. So let's say you want to use a computer. So many poskim hold that even though when you print something on the computer, it comes out very neat. They say that since a child can also do it, you don't have to be such a big expert to use the computer. Even though the result is going to be very neat, that's considered Maisa Hedyot. That's considered Malachas Hedyot. That would be permissible. Let's say a person every so often wants to check what his bank account, what's doing with his bank account. So if he's concerned that he may be overdrawn and he has to switch money from the savings account to the checking account, otherwise he's going to be penalized. So that's a Tzorach HaMoed. But if he knows he can't be overdrawn, he didn't make out so many checks, it's just he'd like to keep his checkbook up to date. He wants to see which checks cleared and which checks didn't clear. So that's not really necessary on Chalamoid. So that's not right. To do a malacha unnecessarily is not permissible. Okay, you better leave out the rest. We got a damar. Okay.
Somebody to write an essay on a computer.
On what?
Write an essay on a computer.
Write an essay.
Serious? I don't know. Go ahead and ask him about your job.
He just only quoted half. Okay, now just turn it off.
I was really hoping he was going to quote Rabbi Yaakov.
I know.
That's what I was hoping.
How do I know if it's still recording or not? Oh, it is.
Oh, is it going to put us?